I need your help today at the Radio Backyard Fence. I need you to tell me why I can't let go of finding something from my childhood. It has hung around with me for months, and I keep putting in new information into the search engines to see if I can see online the picture that I saw every morning when I woke up. It hung above the closet in my bedroom as a child. So my question is not, how do I find this? You know, what search engine do I use? My question is, why does this keep surfacing? What is it about this thing? I can close my eyes right now and I can see it. Why does that stir this longing in my soul? And do you have anything like that way back in your childhood? I put this question up on Facebook. Is there a memento from your childhood that you would love to hold in your hands? A toy, a piece of clothing, a baseball glove? Why do we long for the past? So I'll tell you what I can't get out of my head, and you try to figure out why this is important to me, and call me if you have an answer to that question. What is the thing you'd love to hold? There are some great responses on Facebook, especially the fence post response. I mean, that goes right along with our program. 877-548-3675 is our number. Call early, call often. Best to be thankful before we launch in here. I'm thankful today for Ryan McConaughey doing all things technical. Tricia, our producer. I'm thankful for Gabby D in the chair today. Anthony will be answering your calls. I'm thankful for the space in your day that you give to conversations like these. Thank you for coming alongside for the ride. And for those who support the program, like Angela. Angela, hats off to Angela. She gave for the first time a See the Star by her name. And she signed up to get my back fence post, which is coming out tomorrow. And in the back fence post, I finally finished the story that I started last week and I didn't tell on the air. We moved on, so I'll reveal that. She became a partner with us, too. She's going shopping. Everything at Moody Publishers is 50% off for those who support us at $30 or more a month. So half of the Moody Bible commentary, that's about 5 pounds right there. You only have to pay for 2.5 of the love languages, and Gary throws in the other 2.5. So go to the website. You'll see how you can be a partner with us if you'd like, or a friend who gives a one-time gift. If you give a gift of any amount, whether you're a recurring partner or a friend, one-time gift, Philip Keller's A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 is our thank you this month. It's hardbound. It's beautifully illustrated. If you like pictures, glossy pictures of sheep, this is for you. This is for you. But the best thing about this is the insights about this most famous poem in all of literature. The writing is stunning. It's encouraging. It's inspiring. It will calm your soul. So go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org. You can scroll down and see how you can support us right there, chrisfabrylive.org. Or if you want to call the number, 866-95-FABRY. And thank you for your friendship and your partnership with us here at the Radio Backyard Fence. Here is that response from Juanita. What would you love to hold in your hands again? She says, a fence post on my parents' farm where the cattle would... She says run, but I think she means rub. So I'll do editing right there. Where the cattle would rub against to scratch their backs, and it was so smooth, I loved to touch it as I walked by to play in the creek. Okay, so Juanita, let me talk to you. If you could touch that smooth post, it would take you back to those days, that tactile feel of that smooth, you know, something done by animals. It would take you back to those carefree days on the farm, the minnows in the creek. But why did that article come to mind? Why did that post come to mind? And what does the longing, where does that longing come from? And what is the import of it? This happened to me yesterday. I was in a store and I walked by an area that had fishing gear looking for something else. And on an end cap, I saw reels, fishing reels. And in my head, I might have said it out loud because there wasn't anybody around. I don't know. In my head, I said, Zebco 202. Zebco 202. My fishing reel had jammed or broken, and I wanted a Zebco 202 to replace it. So today at the Radio Backyard Fence, we're gonna walk down memory lane. Another Get to Know You Wednesday edition. This is not a hugely theological topic. There's no wrong answer to anything. There's no judgment either. This is what I've learned. Well, I've tried to learn. I try to remind myself that I've learned this, that if there's something bubbling up in my soul, just pay attention to it. Just lend an ear. Lean a little closer to it and see, what is it that's going on here? I'm a big believer that reminders of the past can jog my creative juices when I come to you here on the radio or if I write a story or whatever I'm doing. So I have things on my desk and in the office here that I can see or hold that remind me of who I am, where I come from, books that I remember from childhood, and other articles. This is something I tell writers who are starting out. Put things around you that will spark that kind of thought and memory and will bring up some kind of emotion that you can tap into as you write. In the last few months, I have thought of a picture that hung on my wall in the little back bedroom of the house where I grew up. It was a house that my father built, a little ranch house, and then they built an addition to it. And the picture in that little bedroom was this wide panorama art print. It was red. It had a rectangular frame. And in the picture, it was a classroom scene. And it was created by Disney. So it had Goofy and Donald Duck. And I remember Jiminy Cricket standing on the teacher's desk with his arms folded, tapping his toe with a kind of scowling look at the person who is coming in late, a character who's coming in late. And everybody else is seated, but there's one character hurrying into the classroom with his books. And that's where I get fuzzy. It's like, I can't remember if it was Mickey that was running in or if there was Pinocchio that was running in and who the teacher was. There's a chalkboard. And in the corner is a character sitting on a stool with a hat on, and spelled out on the hat is Dunce, D-U-N-C-E, which is not real kind, but I'm telling you what I remember. And I tell you, I describe that to you not to get you to go hunting for it for me or to send me yours if you have it. Well, if you do, take a picture of it. But I tell you that to describe how vivid that is in my memory. And there's a sad part of this tale. And this might have something to do with the longing. I took that picture from the wall and I brought it home with me. This is probably about 20 years ago. And then for reasons I won't go into, traumatic reasons, I lost it. I don't have it anymore. So perhaps this current, what would you call it? It's desire, obsession. It's got to be something in order for me to bring it to you and talk to you about it. Perhaps it stems from the loss more than the longing for what I saw as a kid. I don't know. That's where I need your help. This is why it's so important for you to call me today. And is there something you recall from childhood that you would love to see again? You can close your eyes and you can see it, but you'd love to see the details. You'd love to hold it in your hands again, like that smooth fence post. 877 548-3675 is our number. And as soon as I began reading those Facebook posts, other things came back to me. Your memories sparked memories of my own. Shonda said, I was a bit of a tomboy. I sometimes wish I still had my old metal cap gun with the red paper powder strips. I feel weird admitting that the one thing that comes to my mind is a gun. I'm really not the violent type, and I didn't and don't care for hunting, so I'm not sure why, except for the fact that I miss the smell of the burnt powder. So let me just analyze this. It's something that she could hold in her hands, something she saw, she felt, but she also had the aroma of the spent powder, little cap powder. And then she says, Shonda, thank you. I grew up with a spiritually, emotionally, and sometimes physically abusive father. And while I do have some good childhood memories, I have at least as many bad ones too. The older I got, the worse he treated me. So maybe the fact that I had the cap gun at a younger age plays into why I would choose it. Times seemed less treacherous back then. And that brought me, I remember getting those, you know, they had the little round rolls of the cap gun that you put in the cap gun, you feed it in there. They'd have those round rolls. Well, I'd go down to the garage, my dad's, the bucket where all the tools were, and grab a hammer and bring it out to the sidewalk or to the porch and put it on the concrete and whack. If you hit it right, you know, it made a big noise. And you'd make a lot of those go. You ever do that? You see what Shanda did for me. She made me remember that metal cap gun. And then Cindy, we don't have time for this now, so I won't tell you, but Cindy talked about a doll, her favorite doll from when she was a kid. And we're going to hear from that doll when we come back. Let's take a quick break. This is Chris Fabry live on Moody Radio. Here's our number, 877-548-3675. 877-548-3675. I want you to answer that question of the thing that comes to your mind that you would love to hold in your hands and see again, and why you would choose that thing. And also answer my question, what is it about this picture? Why is that such a big deal? Why do I keep coming in and going on search engine and trying to see? I can't even find the thing that I saw as a kid. You help me out. We'll take a quick break, 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. Or if you don't have a chance or you're listening to the podcast and you're not listening live, go to the Facebook page and respond. I would love to hear what is rolling around your soul today at the Radio Backyard Fence. Jenny says, I had a Fisher-Price Little People Carnival set when I was a little girl. I wish I still had it so I could let my grandkids play with it. How about you? 877-548-3675. This is Chris Fabry live on Moody Radio. Nothing huge. There's no eclipse on this program. All eclipses are safe for this program. But I want you to take us back to your childhood, and we'll start in Holland, Michigan. Terry's on the line. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to do it.
I just wanted to call because as soon as I heard you talk about a picture from your childhood, I knew I just had to share this because I had a picture hang on the wall when I was a little girl between my bed and my sister's bed. And when my parents sold that house and moved away, nobody knew what happened to that picture. And many years later, I began to just yearn for that picture. And I started asking my siblings, who knows about it? Where is it? Nobody seemed to know. And this is what it was a picture of. It's a picture of Jesus, and he's sitting on a chair, and it's like totally vintage. The children around him are, little girls have short little dresses and Mary Jane shoes and anklets, and a little boy's holding an airplane, and the caption under it is, Jesus said, let the little children come to me. But then underneath that, it says, what happened to your hand? And his hand is extended, and you can see the nail hole in it. And I just always, always, always loved that picture. So as I started asking my siblings more about it, to my surprise, on my 70th birthday, my one sister had... She searched and searched and searched, so don't you give up your search, and found the picture. She had it framed, and now I have it hanging in my office.
Do you really? And so,
I do, really.
So you identify with the longing that is there. So what is, and it's a lot better, I come up with a Mickey Mouse thing. And you come up with Jesus in a chair. I think that's pretty good. But what it's, I don't think it's the necessarily the what the picture is of. There's something about, you know, what is it? The innocence of childhood, maybe being drawn to art or something that you see every day. What do you think?
Well, okay, here's what I think. I think that as I became older and had children of my own and then grandchildren, I remembered seeing those little kiddos in that picture. And the question that always hit me is, what happened to your hand? And to me, that seemed like a great place to tell what happened to his hand. So I wanted to share that with my children. I have 21 grandchildren, and I wanted to share that with my children and my grandchildren. And wow. So I've had a chance to do that. My grandson, I have a grandson standing right here with me right now. And so we were looking at the picture just before you called. So
you give him a big hug for us.
Was for me.
That is great.
Oh, I will. Dad!
See, there it is. There it is. God bless you, Terry. Thank you for starting us off.
That was the lesson. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's a beautiful start to the program today. And I think she's absolutely right about where that comes from, where the, you know, there's a longing for the past, but not to get stuck back there. It's to bring that to inform the present. I think that's definitely a part of it. Bill has taken time out of his day in Lake Wales, Florida, to give us a call. Hey, Bill, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you today?
Doing great. Glad to talk with you. Tell me what came to your mind.
Well, when I was a kid, my father was an alcoholic, and my mother used to drive me around in her 1968 Cadillac convertible, and she used to impart to me her philosophies of life and talk to me about the Lord. And she ended up dying of a very rare neuromuscular disease years later. And about a year ago, I bought one 68 Cadillac convertible, and I'm almost done restoring it. I've done most of the work myself, but when I look in the garage, it's like mom's home.
Yeah. What is it about those cars, too? That's the other thing. You can't hold it in your hand. You know, it's too heavy for that. But there's something, the connection that you had with your mom, and you remember the conversations that you, and the pain.
Yes.
The pain is part of that, too, right?
Oh, absolutely. But the great thing about Jesus is he allows us to be human, but he gives us his peace, which passes all human understanding.
Bill, I'm really glad you called, and I'm hoping that there's somebody else who's listening today who may have grown up in an alcoholic family or had some kind of trauma back there. Because as you mentioned that, there's a sense of loneliness that leaks into your story, and I have the same kind of thing. My dad was not an alcoholic, or my mother, but there was pain in the household that I wasn't aware of, and that leaked down to me, and part of that was a solitary, sequestered loneliness in some ways that was self-imposed, but that has kind of followed me through my life and informs who I am today and why I do what I do. So that 68 Cadillac convertible, I had not thought that we'd get to that. Bran is in Canton, Ohio. Bran, why did you call today?
Well, I can keep it simple by just talking about my memory, which is food. So, again, my household was not the easiest to live in. But on Sundays, we would go into where my grandma lived and go to church. And then we'd walk back home to her house, and you could just smell what was cooking outside. And then you'd go in, and we had a big family get together. And now I'm really big into hospitality and to making sure people don't feel lonely or unwelcome. And I open my house up and I make food for others. And there's something when my hands smell like onions, I think about my grandma's hands smelling like onions, and she's been gone for 30 some years, but there's a connection that I can, like in my long-term memories, that I can connect with. It gives me a sense of why hospitality is important to me today. It was a way of feeling loved and a way of connecting with my family that's now gone. So that's my story.
Yeah, it's something that you caught from her because of how hospitable she was and what a good cook it sounds like she was. It's something that you observed and you said, maybe subconsciously, but you said, this is how I want to live my life.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really until I was looking for my purpose. I'm getting ready to retire from teaching. And I ended up doing hospitality because it was open at my church. And I've learned from doing, that's where God's speaking to me, not by thinking about what I might do, but answering the call first. And in that call, as I'm doing these things, when I make a recipe, I'm remembering, well, this is a little different than what hers was like. How did hers smell? What did she add? And so it brings back pictures in my mind of how she would make her Swiss steak with the little swirls of onions on top, and what did the gravy look like. So it really helps my cooking because I have this whole wealth of references that I've kept somewhere in the back of the closet there that the service that I'm doing is pulling up. So, yeah.
Okay, you said that you just, you're getting ready to retire and you're thinking of your purpose. So did you, was there a process that you went through with that? Did you get people around you? Did you take a test online? What does that look like?
No. Well, I teach and I teach about purpose. And I also teach about nostalgia, which is what we're talking about. But it's figuring out how God made you. How did he gift you? What kind of passion did he give you? And the sad thing is today, kids don't know. They don't know how they feel. They don't know what makes them special. They don't know what they want to do. They don't know any of that. And so I really work with my students, juniors and seniors in high school, on taking time to spend part of my curriculum is helping them identify how are you made? What makes you special? What challenges you? What comes easy to you? Where have you heard someone say, wow, you're really good at that? So we really process this to help people understand what they might want to do in their future and how God's gifted them for a purpose.
It sounds like then when you retire, it's like Dr. Gary Chapman retired from being a pastor after 50 years, but he's doing the same thing. It sounds like to me that you're going to be doing something like that with teaching, with mentoring, with pouring your life into other people, or am I wrong about that?
No, that's one of the avenues. But that's the thing is I found that we can think all day about what we might do and we can project all day what we might do. But the only time I really started to get somewhere was when I took a step by doing something. So when I answered the call because no one had filled hospitality for 2 years at our church, that's when God's been speaking to me, not just when I was thinking and theorizing.
Right.
It's by the doing that I'm finding the information.
That is really good.
And all those memories are coming back. Yeah.
Yes. God doesn't steer parked cars is how some people have said it. you can overdo that as well. I've always got to be in motion in order. And that's not what you're saying. You're saying that as you, and I'm thinking of the program on perfectionism a little earlier in the week, that if you are a perfectionist, it's very hard for you to take that step and very hard to do something so that you do find out, you know, because you don't want to make a mistake and you don't do the wrong thing and all of that. That is really helpful, Brent. There's somebody who needed to hear that, and I know because I'm one. I'm here. I'm right here. So we have to get to Drowsy. When we come back from our break, I want you to hear from Drowsy. We also have to get to many of you are saying that there was a record as a child that you played, or that there was a cassette tape that was played in your childhood, and you remember that. And Donna said it was a 78 RPM. And I remember this little record player that had a top to it, and on the spindle, the thing that came through the small hole in that those 78 RPM records, that you would put this little thing on top of it, and it would go around like a carnival, like a merry-go-round, and all of these things. And I remembered the Peter and the Wolf, the Leonard Bernstein Peter and the Wolf, and the cover. So much of this stuff is coming back. What about you? 877-548-3675. I have room for you today as we talk about these mementos of the past, the connection that we have, the models that we've followed, the 68 Cadillacs that Bill's restoring and is feeling the sense of his mother's love through that article. More straight ahead. I'm going to tell you what Cindy said, and you're going to hear Drowsy here in a minute. I promise I'm going to play Drowsy, but I want you to do something for me before you hear about Drowsy. Would you, if you're at your computer, or maybe you can do this when you get to it, go to chrisfabrylive.org, click the green CareNet button. We started the program today by being thankful. You know, it says always great to be thankful at the beginning. Are you thankful for the people who gave birth to you? We've already heard some hard stories about, you know, my dad was this, and there's a real struggle at home. But the people who gave birth to you, the woman who gave birth to you, your mother, and the father, whether he was in the picture or not, be thankful for those who loved you enough to let you be born. So that's a good, you know, very fundamental thing to be thankful for, because today, in today's world, all of that is up for grabs, and it has been for quite a while. And I saw a news article today about people in the political world, and are they as committed to the pro-life principles as we thought, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a good discussion to have. The best discussion to have, though, is how about those people, those one-on-one relationships? You have anybody in your life right now who's struggling with an unplanned pregnancy or an unwanted pregnancy, and they don't, that person, that woman, or the man and the woman, they don't think, they just have all these questions, and how in the world are we going to fill in the blank? CareNet is there, but CareNet and the people who volunteer and who work with CareNet can't do it all themselves. I really believe if there's going to be a turnaround on this issue, that it's going to be grassroots. And so does CareNet. And they believe that that starts in the church, because the answer to the abortion question is a discipleship issue. Because when you come into a relationship with God through Christ, and you know that you are forgiven, and that you know that you are changed from the inside out, the abortion issue changes for you. I really believe that. And they have a church engagement initiative that will make your church a life lighthouse, so that you're just not talking about, yes, I really believe in life, and I hope the Supreme Court does this and that and the other thing. You get to be plugged into people who are dealing with this very issue. I'll just stop there. Click the green CareNet button at chrisfabrylive.org, and then I'll play Drowsy. Do that at some point today, and I'd be really thankful, because I think you're going to be encouraged by what is going on outside of the headlines that you read. I'll stop right there. Go to chrisfabrylive.org, click the green CareNet button today. So Cindy heard about this picture that I had in my mind, and, you know, what is it for you? And Cindy said it was her favorite talking doll. This had to have been in the 60s. And I looked it up on YouTube. Terry Crane has a YouTube channel on Mattel Collectibles. And this is, well, she describes it here. The doll's name is Drowsy. Here we go. Ryan, let's go.
when we were little, we loved little Drowsy. So let's listen to Drowsy talk, okay? Here she goes.
Mommy, I'm sleeping. I want another drink of water. I want to stay up. Mommy, cover me up.
I think that's all the Drowsy I can hold right now. But you get it. And any person who had a Drowsy doll, that's going to spark something inside of you. And you think of who gave that to you, who gave that doll to you, and who you played with. See, there's more here than just the item itself. There's this connection. There's this emotional thing. Colleen is in Noblesville, Indiana. Hi, Colleen. Go right ahead.
Hi. Hi. I'm so glad to be a part of your show. I had a wonderful childhood. I had a great church. My parents taught me about the Lord. So my favorite place and my favorite memory was an apple tree in our yard. And it wasn't because I needed to get away from anything negative that was happening in the house. I think at a very young age that I realized that there was something majestic about a tree. And it was the tallest place that I could be. And I memorized how I would climb that tree up to the branches that I knew would hold me and not beyond. And I would study up there, and I would memorize lines that I needed for a play and read books. And it was my little little hideaway, I guess. And that my house is now gone. Last year they raised it and the whole property so they could have a new church parking lot. So my tree is still, the ground in which my tree was planted is still serving the Lord. And not just this little girl that loved to climb that tree.
So if you close your eyes right now, you can see the first limb that you grab and where you put your foot in the crook, right? You know exactly where you go in order to get as high as you needed to go, right?
I did. I did not need a GPS to get up that tree. And I could probably still do it in my sleep, climb that tree. Where my hands went, where my feet went, it was my good friend.
Well, and it sounds like this was a respite place. It was a place where, and as you said, you know, it's just nothing terrible was going on, but you could just have solitude and peace there, right?
Yes. Yes. And it was very high up. Again, I still love trees. I mean, the tallest things that I'm looking at right now, I'm driving, are trees. And there's just something, you know, in God's creation of trees, the majesty of them, the architecture of a tree, all so different, the colors of green. I just am a tree aficionado, I guess.
Yes. Oh, I love it, Colleen. Thank you for chiming in today. And I just have no idea where all of these things, this is one of the great things about doing a program like this, and that is I don't know where we're going to go with your memories. But we're getting to some good places, like Dottie's going to take us in Alabama. Hi, Dottie. Go right ahead.
Hi, Chris. I'm thinking back when I was a little girl, I had a Mickey Mouse pillow, just a little square pillow that I slept with every night. And my father was career military, and we were moving to England, Ruislip Air Force Base. And my mother decided that I needed to grow up. And she took my Mickey Mouse pillow away, and I think she threw it away. But she'd wash it, you know, and it just got to be ragged. But it was my Linus blanket. It was my little security blanket, and I loved it. And I never got over it. But then in my 30s, I had a personal relationship with Jesus, and I realized that he was my security and he was my comfort. But, you know, it's funny because I always make a joke about it to my friends now. I'm 70, and I say, well, that's what's the matter with me. You know, my mother took my pillow away from me when I was 5.
Well, and you could see, you even did it right there. You said, I can understand why she did it. You know, I can understand you got kind of ratty, and it was just, you know, you got to get rid of that thing as an adult. But if she knew if she knew what that you would be calling all these years later to a radio program and talking about that, she probably would have figured out a way to preserve it in some way, don't you think?
Oh, isn't that funny? You know, you never know. I mean, I remember I was the baby and my middle sister had a rock collection, and moving to England in the Air Force, you're only allowed so much weight, you know, to go over there.
Right.
And so we sort of had to clean out everything and just kind of get down to bare bones. But my sister managed to hide her rock collection and carry it all the way to England. And we still talk about that, the fact that I lost my Mickey Mouse pillow and I wasn't clever enough to hide it and sneak it aboard.
You know what that lets me know? Dottie, I want to say this because we talk about military service, you know, those who serve, police, firefighters, others who are out there and service, and then those who serve in the military. But those who often get forgotten are the family members of those service members, either the deployment of a family member, and then you pray and you hope and you want them to come home safely, but also the families that move around the country and around the world and make those sacrifices. So this is a good place to just kind of pause and say, Dottie, thank you for your service. And anybody else who's that, you know, I know there are people who know exactly what I'm talking about more than I do. Thank you for that sacrifice and that service and the having to throw things out because you can't take him from one place to another. So we go from Dottie's pillow to David's blanket. This is going to be good. Hey, David, go right ahead.
Hi. I'm going to tell you, I had a baby blue, stereotypical baby blue blanket when I was young, as far as I can remember, back probably 2 years old. And then around age 6 or 7, my mother, since I was still sucking my thumb, when I had the blanket, mind you, at school, I was not sucking my thumb, but when I had the blanket at home, I was still sucking my thumb. So, she decided to, say, again, it was ratty enough and it was old enough, even though every weekend it was in the washing machine, but now it had reached its limit. And, so she threw it out one weekend, and I was looking all over the house floor and she said, sorry. And intentionally that also killed the, at the same time, like I said, put the final nail in the coffin of my thumb sucking, because there was no reason to anymore.
Really? So her throwing the blanket away stopped you from the tactile feel of the thumb.
Well, she psychologically knew that I was only sucking my thumb with the blanket.
Oh, yeah.
So we kind of killed two birds with one stone by saying, "Oh, now it's time to outgrow the blanket." Because I think she was more concerned with if I had a friend come over, which I did have of all things, like, I think by the third grade, or no, I'm back up a little. Ever since we moved into the town from the very first week, I had made friends with all the kids across the block. And there was a family of four kids there, and including a girl in my class. And then, a year or two years later, I had another girl over as I guess now they would brand as a BFF from like second grade. So we don't want any of the neighborhoods or any of the kids getting back to school that you're still sucking your thumb and having a blanket. So I think she killed it for that reason too. She was embarrassed by it, but once she got rid of it, it did stop the thumb sucking. Like now I think about it, and what's weird is I didn't even thought about that baby blue blanket until you brought up this subject this afternoon. And I was telling your producer, whoever, the screener, that it'd been like 30 years.
Yes.
And I had, so.
You hadn't thought of that in 30 years. That is, David, thank you. And it reminds me, and I think you had said this too, because I see it on the screen. It reminds me of the Velveteen Rabbit, the one that was very loved, you know, this thing that was very loved and all the wool was worn off of it. And the part of that story is that it becomes real, you know, and of course, fake rabbits don't become real. I know that, but you're hitting the innocence of childhood. You're hitting the fears of a mom who wants you to mature and is going to take this away. And so there's this wound that is there as well, playing armchair psychologist, I know, but you have to do it. David, thanks for calling in here today. There's some really, really interesting calls that are coming up and responses on Facebook. We'll tell you about those. And we'll continue on Chris Fabry Live and Moody Radio. Stephanie says, my pink, puffy, sweet thunder bike from the 1980s. I rode that thing all over my Akron, Ohio neighborhood. Stephanie, thank you. Richard said, my brother's family, Don, gave me his toy John Deere tractor last year after his memorial service. It reminds me of him when I see it in my office. And isn't that, there's something here about these things from childhood or that we associate with other people, and we're kind of tapping into that today. Ron's in Georgia. Ron, why did you call today?
Hey, yeah, I called. I had listened to all these stories, and it's just bringing back things to me, too. There's several things. There was a picture in Mom's living room growing up in the 70s. Of a young boy steering a ship and Jesus above him, telling him, you know, looking over him and showing him the way. And it, looking back, I don't know where the picture went, but it reminds me of my mom's spirit of helping others. She had a very giving spirit. I remember as a child, she gave everything she had to help others. And, I became her caregiver and did that for almost a decade of my life. And now I'm 53 and I realize now I prayed about it and all that giving spirit is now in me. And it actually helps me to heal and go on with life by helping others. And when I look back at that painting, that picture, I think of that. And there's another thing that reminds me of Mom, and that the giving spirit is an avocado green rotary phone hanging on the kitchen wall, and I still have that today.
Do you? And did it weigh like 50 pounds?
I leave it there. It's still workable. I leave it there, but you know what? It reminds me of my mom and that giving spirit, and I'm blessed to have had that epiphany of this is what helps me. This isn't a Jesus or God being authoritative saying, you will do this. This is actually him saying, hey, if you do this, you'll feel better. It'll help you, and it'll please me on top of that, you know.
And others, yeah. Too. So is that absolutely true, Ron? Is that picture true? Does Jesus really guide you? Has he done that in your life?
Absolutely, especially when I didn't even know it. When I look back, there's no way that I could have made it the way I have, as far as I have, without him, even though I didn't know it or didn't appreciate it or wasn't as faithful. It's all led me to realization that he is the one that's been leading me the whole time and helping me. And now I can admit it because I can see it. Right. I was foolish and didn't want to, you know how you are when you're young, you kind of have these other ideas. Well, I can do this on my own. Well, no, you can't really. I own it now. I'll say that.
Yeah. Ron, that's a really sweet memory to bring to us today in that picture that you recall. And I, you know, at some point I wanted to get around to this. Where does this longing come from, this desire? I think part of it is it's almost a desire for home or connection with the people that meant the most to us when we were children. There's almost a feeling of going home with that. But there's also this deeper longing that is there, that if it weren't something back there that, you know, connected me, there would be something else on the inside because of that hole in the soul that only God can fill. And that you're mentioning that picture of the guidance that God wants to give you, the grace that he's working even when you don't know it, you know, even when I don't see you, I'm trusting you to do this thing. Let me end with Cerise. Because this is a hard one. Cerise, about your sister and the soup. Can you tell me that story?
Yes, and the stories are so lovely, and I hate to kind of put a damper on the on the end here, but thank you for taking my call. My sister was murdered when she was a child, and it was so devastating. We were all just incapacitated for quite a while, and it was a small town in Indiana, and some wonderful Indiana lady sent us a big mason jar of soup. People had been sending food to us, but we couldn't eat anything. And I don't even know what my parents were doing, because we were all so devastated that we didn't even talk to each other. We were just like incapacitated. And so the one thing that I could eat, and I think my parents ate it too, was this marvelous vegetable soup. There were all these other rich, wonderful foods, but it was just this something about this jar, mason jar of soup, and it was just right. It was just incredible, and I was able to eat it, and I think my parents must have eaten it too. And from later, when I became an adult, I found when someone was hurting or sick or whatever, I was making them soup. Now, I tried to make that same vegetable soup, but yeah. I've never been able to duplicate it. I never got to thank that wonderful lady, whoever it was, that sent that wonderful, it was like a healing soup.
Yeah, yeah. You did. You did just now, Cerise, but you don't know if she's listening it because it was probably a long time ago. But that is exactly what I'm talking about. That is this balm on our souls. That is the grace of God in action. And see what happens here. David talked about it. I hadn't thought about that in 30 years. But you start to bring up some of these things from the past and that longing and that stirring. You let it bubble a little bit. You'll get to someplace good of the heart. I'm so sorry about the loss of your sister. So grateful for that jar of soup, aren't you? Thanks for listening. Chris Fabry Live's production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.